Good morning. We made it to Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. And Alan, on this Friday, let's start with the golden parachute. We're learning that Bill O'Reilly, who has been let go from Fox News after a number of sexual harassment claims, has at least up to perhaps $25 million to exit Fox.
$25 million, not a bad payday. Of course, $1 million isn't what it used to be. He may have a rougher time dealing with it. But, of course, he has bestseller books and personal appearances and everything else that he has going for him. But there are a number of questions that have been raised, not the least of which is, since O'Reilly is their number one product, and since he brings in $100-160 million, I've heard all kinds of things, in annual revenues, who will they replace him with? Well, Tucker Carlson's been around for a while, they say, for now. I don't think he has the same charismatic aspects that O'Reilly does, even though I consider them to be negative charisma. That's what has attracted the troops and many of the Trump people. As you'll remember, that Donald Trump said that O'Reilly had nothing to apologize for, that he was a good guy. He had done nothing wrong. And of course, O'Reilly had already been a big supporter of the president. So there is the president theoretically dealing with Fox, who has been the network we are told he likes to watch the most, and who is, in terms of the media, one of the great backers of the president. So it puts a certain amount of dissonance between him and that network. But we shall see where it goes. I doubt that Carlson will be able in the long run to maintain it. And I think, as I said on this week's Media Project, he's probably more of a placekeeper than anything else. Fox, of course, has done the right thing here. And the Murdoch boys, I believe, have signaled a new day at Fox, and that some things that have been alleged to have happened under both Ailes and O'Reilly will no longer be acceptable.
Let's go over to France for a second, with an election looming and the specter of a gunman attack, which has put Paris on edge. Your sense of things as the election approaches?
David, like the Trump election, anything could happen here. Everybody expected that Hillary Clinton was going to win. She didn't. These polls are very close. Madame Le Pen, of course, has friends and people who are alleged to be fascists. On the other hand, there's a deep cleavage in the electorate, and the two establishment parties don't seem to be doing all that well, although even there you don't know. So you have a leftist group, you have the Pen nationalist populist group mirroring what we have seen here in the United States with Donald Trump. So France looks like it could be a toss-up. You also have German elections coming, and now you have Theresa May having called snap elections in England, when in fact the rival Labour Party is in total disarray. And on top of that, we know that the Russians, or we have been told that the Russians, are trying to inject the chaos into the system. When the history books are written, David, years and years later, it's going to be an interesting time when you see what all of this amounts to.
White House officials, Alan, desperate to demonstrate progress on President Trump's promise to repeal the Affordable Care Act, are pushing to resurrect a revamped version of a Republican health care bill before his 100th day in office next week. The issue continues.
Well, David, they are desperate to get a win here. They need the win in order to do the budget. Now, what they have to do, of course, is bring the moderate group of Republicans, who just know that it's a death knell for their candidacies if they wipe out Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act for all of these people who are now used to it. And they're coming up with all kinds of really sort of extreme ways of assuring those moderates and at the same time keeping the freedom, so-called Freedom Caucus, the right-wingers, in check. And that's only in the House of Representatives. It doesn't even begin to get to the Senate. Now, the Senate is fascinating because we saw when they couldn't get their way on the Supreme Court, they just changed the rules. There's no more filibuster. You know, it was an up or down vote from the same Republicans who refused to even interview the Obama nominee with a year, more than a year out, Merrick Garland. So they got their guy, Gorsuch, in by changing the rules. Now, they assured us at the time, the American people, that there would be no more just changing the rules. So if they wanted to do a filibuster in the Senate, they could. Well, let's watch and see whether their temptation is just too great to do that again. I think that no matter how they stomp their foot, they just can't deal with the fact that this thing has not gone the way they thought it would.